Hallelujah. Man, it's so good to see so many. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just begin to lift him up again? Hallelujah. Praise God. We magnify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We magnify you. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you for your presence, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We exalt you. Just give him worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. How many would like an opportunity just to be able to give this morning? So why don't you just, I should have said that beforehand, but lest we get into something and then we can't do it later. We'll just put something out here. But why don't you go ahead and ask him what he'd have you to give this morning? By the way, all the Kenya money came in. Isn't that great? How many are going to be praying for Candy and I this week? Leave. Candy said she was for sure. So anything else that comes in, it'll be just blessings to those people over there. Hallelujah. So why don't you just ask him what he'd have you to give this morning? This will be going to the church. So, Father, we give you all the praise. We thank you for your great grace and your love and that you've brought them here this morning because you love them so much. And thank you for the shed blood of Jesus and everything that he's provided through the cross. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So, why don't you get that ready. Stand with us one more time. We'll get this right after a while. We'll start telling you before you greet each other. We've been missing that. So go ahead and bring this down. And if you have something, and if you miss someone, you could say hi again. We had a good Sunday last Sunday, wasn't it? Lots of miracles and instantaneous healings. I like them when they happen right on the spot. Had a lady that was healed instantly and had a brain concussion or something like that and for years suffered and immediately she was healed. Isn't that amazing? And others have testified, one or two more I've heard, the reports are in, Kathy, still healed. How long was that? You were suffering for months with major headaches. Hallelujah. So he still does it. You know what else he does? He saves people too. He births them again. You know, the greatest thing that ever happened, the greatest miracle, we say this, and we say it all the time, and why don't you say it with me? I say, Immokalee is in revival. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. The dead are raised. Demoniacs are set free. Maimed are made whole. Thousands and thousands are born again in this revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The greatest thing that ever happened to you, miracle-wise, if you've been born again, was the day that you got born again. The Holy Spirit stepped into your spirit, gave you a nature that was like the one that Christ has. It has the capacity. You know, even without the Holy Spirit, we talk a lot about praying in tongues around here because we believe it is something the Holy Spirit wants you to have. But the moment that you got born again, you had a capacity to get to know your Father. Jesus, he visited a woman at the well particular occasion, and he said to her, she had questions for him, and he said to her, the hour is coming, and now is, meaning it's about to take place, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And he wasn't talking about that, like when we get together and we come out of here and we say that, man, we really had a spiritual move. We really felt the Holy Ghost. No, he was talking about something that would happen to you positionally, that you could be born again and that you could worship your Father out of a new nature, out of a born-again spirit. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm glad for all these kids that are coming in here. Amen. But you know, not only did you have the capacity, once that you get born again, to worship God, on your worst day ever, you could lift up your voice and begin to magnify Him and know that He is your Father. And if He is your Father, He's going to come and He's going to visit you no matter where hell's at around you. He's going to provide the answer for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what else the new nature provided for you even without the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's the icing on the cake. He's amazing. The new nature provided for you an ability to live above sin. You did not have to. The moment that you got born again, you did not have to bend your knee to sin anymore. Well, what's sin? Well, it's the Ten Commandments, but the amazing part is once you got born again, the Ten Commandments are written in your heart. Hallelujah. It's there. Nobody has to follow you around and say, don't do this, don't do that. If you're born again, and you're born again for just a little while, and you come, we'll put it out there where it's really kind of exaggerative. You're born again for a couple years, and you come and say, you know what, Pastor, I didn't know that stealing was wrong. Really? You didn't know it was wrong? Well, you know what? There's something wrong. There's something wrong with what you've got, because the born-again nature teaches you from the very beginning. Hebrews says, I will write my laws into their hearts. I'll write my laws into their hearts. And when you do sin, John says that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus, the righteous one. In other words, you just fall down in your heart and say, Lord, forgive me, wash me, and keep going on. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I've been born again. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands. Magnify Him. That you're free. Hallelujah, Jesus. Guess what? You're going to get a lot of your friends and family free too. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. James chapter 1, you can turn there with me if you want to. Just to remind you of some things this morning. James 1, verse 1. James is writing and he says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. But he's writing to us. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That also could be understood as tests and trials and tribulations. Count it all joy. Now, how many of you find it real happy, your happy day, when you fall into a lot of different problems? Not too many. You know, I've got a lot of phone calls from people, but I've never ever, don't think I've ever got one where somebody was ecstatic on the other end of the line and said, Pastor, will you pray for me? Really? What for? I'll tell you what, I'm overwhelmed with joy. Not pray for me, I'm just giving you a good report. Well, what? Well, I've got so many tests and trials going on right now, I can't even count them all. I don't know what it is, but this is what James is saying. He says, count it all joy when you fall into. Fall into means you did not expect them, you didn't ask for them, you didn't know why they were there, but for some reason, they showed up. And he says, diverse temptations. How many of you know that tests usually don't just come one? They usually come like bananas in bunches. But nevertheless, he said, count it all what? Joy. Count it all joy. When you fall into divers or all kinds of things that are coming to tell you that God is not who He says He is, and that He's not going to meet your need, and He's not going to come through this time, and you're going to stay sick, and you're going to stay overwhelmed, and you're going to stay with your family messed up, and you're headed towards divorce, and you're headed towards the family going crazy, and the kids getting on drugs, and the kids being destroyed. Count it all joy. Why? Why can we count it all joy? Because He says this, knowing that the trying of your faith does what? It works patience. Now that word patience is not to be impressive, because I don't know the Greek, but the word is hupomene or something close to that. And part of that word doesn't mean just to put up with. It does mean endurance. But how many of you know that He doesn't want you to put up with your trials? He wants you to get past them. He doesn't want you to stay in them. He wants you to get past them. Hallelujah. Look to somebody and say, He wants me to get past where I'm at right now. Maybe that's the person next to you. He wants me to get past you. Hallelujah. But let patience have its perfect work, the force of consistency. In other words, knowing this, that, okay, I don't like what I'm in right now, but I do know this, that if I understand the force of consistency, then I know that somehow I'll get past this. Well, what's the force of consistency? It's patience, meaning this, just keep doing always what you were doing before the trial hit. Usually what happens to most people is right in the middle of the trial, they want to start changing things. They want to start figuring out things. They want to start figuring out and put a new face on God, a new face on their relationship with God. When you are walking into God and before the trial hit and before all things came about as they were, you were walking with God and Satan came. Why does he come? Well, Mark 4 tells us this. He comes to steal the word from you. Do you know every one of you in here this morning, if you hear the Word of God, you've got a Bible, if you go home and read your Bible, and you love God and you continue to let that Word mature inside of you, you're not going to be the same. Jesus said that you are going to a place, He promised you this, especially if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He wants you having the ability, not just you living above sin, He wants you to come to a place where you continually graduate and get closer to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit purges you and purges you. How many of you know none of us are perfect as of yet? Well, a couple of you may think so because I didn't get much of a show of hands. But none of us are perfect, but the Holy Spirit is taking us to a place. He's purging us. He's changing us from glory to glory. Hallelujah. And He's agreeing with what I'm saying right now. He's telling you. So anyway, He's changing us from glory to glory, and He does that through the power of the new nature. But when these trials come and these tests come, they're to get us off path. Well, what they're trying to do is this, take the Word of God from you. If the Word of God stays in you, guess what? Jesus promised this, that it would grow 30, 60, and 100 fold. He wants you laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. He wants you believing that not only are you going to church just to receive something for yourself, but then it begins to dawn on you, wait a minute, I can get my family free. I can get my unsaved husband free. I can get my unsaved children free. And I can lay hands on the sick in the Winn-Dixie parking lot or in the Winn-Dixie store or in the Walmart, which is to come, and get them set free. Praise God. He wants you understanding that you are more than enough. But Jesus said this, well, why don't we just turn to Mark 4? How many of you got your Bibles? Hallelujah. If you don't have a Bible, see us. We can get you one, a King James Version. Hallelujah. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 4. How many are glad you're here this morning? Praise you, Jesus. Jesus said in verse 13, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? Well, he had just spoken to them about the parable of the sower sowing the word. And he says this, these are they that, he said, the sower soweth the word. This is the parable. These are they that by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh. Who comes? Satan comes immediately. Do you know that it's his job that before you hit the parking lot, if possible, he can start taking the word of God from you? He does it by a number of different ways. One, just forgetfulness. If you do not concentrate on what is being said, most of the time when we come in here in worship, now, it's I have to come in here full. In fact, the amazing part is this. I do believe this with all my heart. A world, a whole world can live inside of you. A world of worship, if you prepare yourself outside of here, you can walk into a place, not just here, but you can walk into a place and change the whole atmosphere. Smith Wigglesworth used to do it. Jesus did it. I've seen it in times in my life where I was at a place where I knew that I'd walk into a place or walk into a service, and it wasn't that other people didn't have something to contribute. But if there's a place prepared inside of you by the Holy Spirit, you can unlock an atmosphere. You can absolutely unlock an atmosphere. And by that, that's where the Holy Spirit is taking us to. He's taking us to a place where we begin to see that we're more than just ourselves. We don't live into ourselves. We don't die into ourselves. And we're working towards a place where everything that we do is far more than ourselves, far more. When we prepare ourselves for these services, when we come in here and we begin to worship on Sunday morning, the more that you and I come in here enriched, see, I do believe that the blind are going to see and the lame are going to be walked. But it's not just a one-time event, or it's not just because of me. It's because you bringing an atmosphere. When we come in here, and for the first, and this is not to be degrading or chastening. When we come in here, and for the first half hour, if we have 45 minutes of worship, if the first half hour we're out fixing problems, or if our mind's someplace else, it's not that he doesn't love us just as much. But it takes a while for our hearts and our minds to become totally saturated with God. That's why it's so important to live that place outside of here. And the enemy will come immediately to try to steal the word from you. He'll try to come immediately to cause you to try to just to forget. He comes, Jesus says this, these are the ways that he comes in verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. When they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with what? How many have been encouraged in here or other places at times? You immediately receive it with gladness. And yet, if it has no root, if you do not begin to meditate on it, if you do not begin to take it to yourself, if you do not begin to confess it and believe it, he says in verse 17, and have no root in themselves, and that endures, so endures. What endures? The word for a time, and afterwards, what? When afflictions and persecutions arises for the word's sake. See, Satan is not, he doesn't like you because you love God if you're born again. But mainly what he's after to destroy in your life is the word of God. He's after to try to take the word from you, because if the word has a maturation process, in other words, if it matures inside of you, if it keeps growing, what it's going to do is push out all the junk. It's going to push out all the junk. It's going to push out all the wrong thinking and the wrong believing. So here's the deal. If you can get this word in you and receive the truth of that word, and it stays long enough, because you know this, here's the truth. Jesus says, as immediately when it's been sown, when you go out, he's going to come. Who's going to come? The enemy's going to come. And he's going to come with persecutions. He's going to come with afflictions. He's going to come with different things that are going to try to distract you. Well, the kids are sick. There's no money. You get your mind off on other things. You stop meditating the word. You stop trying to believe the word or confess the word. If he can do that, What he does immediately is to steal the word from you. When he does that, the word has no capacity to keep growing, because what it's supposed to be doing, it's not just supposed to get your bills paid. We're a church living in the last days. Jesus is coming back, and he wants to see a great revival take place. He wants me to come in here and just be a part of the brethren, and hear you come in here saying, look at all these lambs that I brought in. Look at all these people that were healed this week. Look at all these people that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to do that. You're going to do that. The only thing that will hinder that in your life is if Satan can eventually, drip by drip, slow process, take the word of God from us. And he does it through afflictions, persecutions. And he says this, and they that are sown among thorns, which hear the word, verse 18, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Well, what did James say? Count it all joy when all these things come. Why? Because if you understand this, that patience, consistency will cause a place in you to say, look, I know why this has come. I know why this frustration. I know why this anger. I know why this fear. I know why there's tension in the home. I know why there's problems that have come. The reason being is that the enemy is trying to take the word of God from me. What word? Well, pastor says this. Pastor said that the word says this, that Jesus said if you have the word inside of you, it will come. He said this in verse 20. He says, and these are they which are sown on good ground. Everybody say, that's me. Such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and 100-fold. Hallelujah. I don't know where you're at. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know if I'm 30, 60, but I'm headed towards 100. Amen? I'm headed towards a place where when I speak the word comes to pass, and it doesn't come to pass later on. It comes to pass right now. Hallelujah. Somebody stood up maybe and said, I mean, you can stand up and say, you know, Jesus come and meet my need. He does. Most of the time, most of our testimonies are, man, I was just about, you know, it was right to the end. It was 11:30, not physically, but it was like we were about to lose everything. They were about to come and get it. She was about to walk out. He was about to walk out. Everything was, and, you know, God came right at the last hour. Well, you know, he'll do that. Thank God that he will do that, and he's done that a million times for me. But guess what? He really wants to do that at the very beginning. And the reason why he can and the reason why he can't usually is how much word we've been able to retain inside of us. It's how much we've been able to live by the word and not let Satan steal it, so that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. A lot of things that we're saying we mean and we love God, but the faith is not there because the enemy has stolen the word from us. But Jesus said here that if the word stays in us, that he says that these are they that are sown on good ground, and hear the word, and it what? Brings forth fruit, some 30, 60, and 100-fold. Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. Praise God. Elbow your neighbor and say, stay awake a little bit longer. We are going to beat the Baptist to the barbecue place. Hallelujah. We went over this a few times, but it's vitally important. He says, therefore, verse 1 of 5, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with who? Aren't you glad our Father has made peace through the blood of Jesus? Just lift that hand up and just say, thank you for that blood, Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. What grace? Well, he says, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we do what? We glory where? We glory in tests and trials and tribulations. James says we joy. Paul says here that we glory in all of these things, knowing that tribulation does what? Worketh patience. we glory in, or we have joy, according to James, in the midst of tests and trials, knowing this, knowing that tribulation worketh. Worketh means, or you could say, employs, brings into effect, or goes and gets, maybe is a better way to say it. I like the way Dave says, he talks about it employing. He says, knowing that tribulation employs patience. In other words, when the tests come, when whatever it is that's coming to try to destroy you, and you know it's not God, but you know you're supposed to have joy in the midst of it, the first thing, it's like the law of gravity. It's just like anything else. It's a spiritual law that if you enter into what He is going to use to bring you out of it, then you understand this, that the first step to getting past whatever it is that's come to destroy your life, the enemy comes, he wants to take the Word of God from you. There is no end to the enemy. There is no end. You can't begin to give him any place, because eventually he's not a good fellow. He does not stop at any one place. He doesn't stop just with discouragement. Discouragement will take you into despair. Despair will take you into a place where you just really don't want to go to church anymore. And there's nothing about it that attracts you. But there is a reversal process. Hallelujah. How many of you know that through Christ Jesus you can come out of anything? Hallelujah. And here's the way. He says that tribulation, what has come, and if you know this to begin with, and there's no need to go to the end of all that and have to reverse, but no matter where you're at in the process, he says that when the thing comes, or the test or trial, the first thing that comes is, come up here, we have a good-looking Haitian young man. The first thing that you are to employ is patience. Doesn't he look like patience? Patience has a button-up dress shirt. And he's so handsome, too. The first thing that you do is that you say, okay, man, I feel like, I don't want to curse in church, but this is not a curse word. This is what you're feeling. I feel like hell. Why? Because hell's against you. And all your senses are saying, this don't make sense anymore. There's no reason to go forward anymore. And you think, okay, well, what do I do? Well, you worship. I love it when the Holy Spirit shows up in worship, don't you? But guess what? He's still there when you don't feel Him. That's the amazing part. He's still there when the atmosphere is not there. Well, then what do I do? What do I do? Do I wait to go forward? Do I wait on a feeling to go forward? I like the way Smith Wigglesworth said it. He said, emotions are way overrated. They're far overrated. Now, I like emotions in the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit says this, okay, something has come against you to take the Word of God. The first thing you need to know is you need to employ. I'm employing you. You now work for me, okay?
How much?
That's not the voice of the Holy Spirit. He said, how much? Patience. You see, I can't go past anything else until I employ patience. What is patience? It's consistency. It means this, I'm going, in a just a good old country boy vernacular, it just means get up, keep putting your britches on, keep going forward, don't stop, go back to the Word of God, go back to church, keep saying I love you, Jesus, keep worshiping, keep praying in tongues, keep fasting, okay, I got it out, keep fasting. This is the force of consistency. It is the first step towards coming out of or getting past from the very beginning whatever it is that's coming against me. What's the next? You read it. My Bible's over there. And the next is what? Patience gives way to what?
Experience.
How many of you think we need another good-looking Haitian young man? Let's come up here. Step over here. The next chain, the branch chain, is this. My consistency in Christ, even when I don't feel like it, employs. All I had to do was employ patience. I choose patience. Patience in me, the consistency of going forward, employs the next, and that is experience. Well, what's experience? experience is not the experience of the moment. It's not the experience of what you're going through, because if you let a test be your experience, it's going to lead you away. It's not that experience. It's talking about the experience of everything that Christ is, everything that He teaches you, who He is in His Word against whatever's coming. That experience, in other words, once you're going through it and you know that He's faithful and He keeps showing up and you keep remembering, look, I've been here before and He's always brought me through. I know others that have been here before and He's always brought me through. And that mixture, that stirring pot, that place of experience where you continually rehearse the Word of God because patience is saying, stay there. And then through that, the Holy Spirit comes and He gives you encouragement. He begins to build you up on your most holy faith. And that's the experience. You begin to feel like, you know what? I've been here before and I've got past these moments before. Experience tells me that the last experience He brought me out. Well, why wouldn't He bring me out? He's done it 1,000 times before. He's going to bring me out again. That's the experience. I just know He's going to do it. He can't drop the ball. God can't drop the ball. That's the experience. We know He can't drop the ball. So then experience says, okay, wow, that knowing felt so good. Something just rose up inside of me. What was that, the thing that rose up inside of me? What's the next one? Oh, come over here, Carl Ellie. You good-looking Haitian young man. Hope is a God kind of, hope is not, most of the church thinks hope is wish. It's not wish. If you wish upon a star, makes no difference. No, that's not. That's the world kind of, I wish. No, hope is this. Because patience kept doing what he was supposed to do, then experience said, I've been here before. You've been here before. We come through it before. Don't you think we'll come through it again? And yet, in that experience, then it gives way to a godly kind of hope. There's a hope. It's not a wish. A hope that comes about, it's an expectation. It sees it's there. It has the capacity to say, I believe. I have an expectation. It's a godly hope. And that hope begins to rise. And you know, you can come out of anything if you have hope. Did you know that? It's when you lose your hope is when you quit. You can come out of anything, I don't care what it is, as long as the hope is there. God kind of hope looks to the future and says, I see it. I see myself free. I see you free. I see my family free. And that God kind of hope does what? It gives itself over to the last one, which is what? Does what? You got to scoot over just a little bit. What's the last one? And hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because what? The love of God. Hallelujah. The love of God. Terry, come up here. We're going to have to have somebody beautiful. Now, those guys are, this looks like love. How many of you know the Word of God says, and God is what? Love. See, the last of all these is this. Experience, or patience, experience, hope, God expectation. But the last one that the Holy Spirit delivers you over to is the love of God. Why? Because perfect love does what? It casts out all fear. And it's shed abroad. It's like peanut butter that gets just spread all over that piece of toast. There's not a crack in it that doesn't have it. In other words, the love of God will be shed abroad over every thought, takes dominion. It stands out in front of all these because all these delivered it over to a place where the love of God, guess what? You're coming through, and even before you get through, you know you're through. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. 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 Bless you.